This episode covers how to stop going silent when she needs you to talk. You know you go quiet. You know she feels abandoned when you do. But in the moment, you have no words and no way back in. What you're getting here is a bridge phrase method and 5 scripts for staying present when everything in you wants to disappear. If you want to stop shutting down in arguments but freeze the moment tension hits, this episode is for you. You're not cold. You're not checked out. You're overwhelmed, and your brain is doing what brains do under stress. It shuts the gate on language. The problem is that, from where she's standing, silence looks exactly like not caring. You've probably known for a while that you shut down in conflict. Maybe she's told you. Maybe you've told yourself. You go quiet. You leave the room. You say, "I'm fine," when you're not. And then later, sometimes hours later, you figure out what you actually wanted to say. This is not a communication problem in the simple sense. It's a physiological response. When conflict spikes your stress, your heart rate climbs fast. Your prefrontal cortex, the part that handles language and nuance, goes offline, and you're left running on a more primitive part of your brain that has 2 settings: fight or get out. For most men who withdraw, get out wins. Researchers call this flooding. John Gottman's lab found that men flood faster and recover more slowly than women during conflict. Your body is doing something predictable. The question is what you do about it before it costs you the relationship. Here's what that cost looks like. When you go silent, she reads your absence as "he doesn't want to deal with me." She escalates to try to reach you, which makes you more flooded. You retreat further. She gets louder or shuts down too. Nothing gets resolved. The issue gets added to the pile. Physical closeness disappears along with the emotional kind. This cycle has a name: the pursue-withdraw pattern. It's one of the most studied dynamics in relationship research, and it's one of the strongest predictors of long-term disconnection. You're probably living it right now. The pursue-withdraw pattern doesn't stabilize on its own. It accelerates. She starts to pursue more desperately. You withdraw more completely. Eventually, she stops pursuing. And that, for most men, is the moment they realize something is seriously wrong. Here's something most guides won't say directly: your silence is not neutral. When you go quiet during conflict, you're not pressing pause. You're sending a signal. You may intend that signal to mean, "I'm overwhelmed and need time to think." She receives it as, "I don't matter enough for him to try." That's not fair. But fairness isn't the point right now. The point is understanding the actual effect of your behavior, so you can decide whether you want to keep producing that effect. Most men who shut down believe they're being considerate. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't want to escalate. They've been told, or they've learned, that silence is safer than words they'll regret. In the short term, that's true. In the long term, consistent silence trains your partner to feel alone inside the relationship. The intimacy connection here is direct. Physical closeness requires emotional safety. Emotional safety requires knowing your partner won't disappear when things get hard. When you go silent in conflict, you're communicating the opposite. When it gets hard, I leave. She can't feel safe enough to be warm and open with a man who might vanish the moment she needs him to stay. She doesn't need you to have the right answer. She needs you to not disappear. That's a much lower bar than you've been setting for yourself. The biggest mistake men make when they learn they're withdrawing too much is they try to solve it by saying more. More explanation. More processing. More talking through their feelings in real time, which for most men in their 40s is not something the nervous system does naturally under stress. You don't need to say more. You need to say something. Specifically, you need one short sentence that does 2 things at once, buys you time, and keeps the connection open. This is a bridge phrase. A bridge phrase is not a solution. It's not a repair. It's a signal that you're still here, that you haven't left, that the conversation isn't over. Here's how it works, in 4 moves. Move 1. Notice the flood before it takes over. Most men don't realize they've shut down until they're already gone. Start watching for the earlier signal. Your jaw tightens, your chest closes. You stop tracking her words and start tracking exits. That's your cue. Move to. Buy time with a real sentence. Not I'm fine. Not. Silence. A bridge phrase that names what's actually happening. I'm getting overwhelmed, and I need a few minutes to think. This is not weakness. It's information she can work with. Move 3. Stay physically present where you can. If you need to step out of the room, say when you're coming back and follow through. If you can stay in the room, stay. Your physical presence tells her you're not abandoning the conversation. Move 4. Re-enter with something, not silence. When you come back, lead with what you noticed, not what you decided. I've been thinking about what you said is more connecting than a solved answer, dropped into a cold room. Now let's get into the actual words. Script 1. When you're starting to flood, for when the argument is escalating, you feel your mind shutting down. You haven't gone fully silent yet, but you're close. Slow down physically before you speak. Lower your shoulders. Look at her. Not at the floor or the wall. Say this. I want to keep talking about this. I'm having trouble thinking right now. Just pause and let that settle. Then say, can you give me 5 minutes? I'm coming back to this. Why it works. You've named your state, which takes you out of your head and into the room. You've told her you're not abandoning the conversation. That one line, I'm coming back to this, does more work than most men realize. What happens next? She may be frustrated. That's okay. Your job in this moment is not to resolve the frustration. Your job is to not disappear. If you come back in 5 minutes, like you said you would, you've done the most important thing. Script 2. When you have no words at all, for when she's upset and needs you to say something. Your mind is blank. You have nothing. You're reaching for words and finding only static. Don't wait until you have the right thing to say. Say the true thing right now, even if it's uncomfortable. Say this. I don't know what to say right now. That doesn't mean I don't care. Just stay in the room. Don't reach for your phone. Then say, can you tell me more about what you're feeling? I'm here. Why it works. You've told her you're wordless, which takes the silence out of the interpretation zone. It's no longer he's choosing not to respond. It's he can't find the words, but he's staying. That's a completely different signal. What happens next? She may start talking more. Let her. Your job now is to listen, not to prepare your next line. When she pauses, say okay, or keep going. Those two words keep the conversation moving. Script 3. When you've already gone silent, for when you've been quiet for too long, she's shut down too, or she's still pushing. You know you need to come back, but you don't know how to re-enter. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Pick a moment and re-enter it. Say this. I shut down earlier, and I'm sorry I went quiet like that. I wasn't done with the conversation. Just pause. Let her respond or not. Then say, I've been thinking about what you said. Can we try again? Why it works. You've named the behavior, which means she doesn't have to. You've told her the conversation still matters. Can we try again is one of the most useful phrases in conflict repair because it signals willingness without pressure. What happens next? She might say yes immediately. She might need more time. Either way, you've opened the door. Don't force it open. Just leave it open and let her move toward it at her own pace. Script 4. When she pushes harder because you're quiet. For when she's escalating because your silence is activating her fear of abandonment, the louder she gets, the more flooded you become. It's a pressure cooker. Lower your voice deliberately. Don't match her volume. Keep your body still. Say this. I hear that you need me to say something. I'm not gone. Just pause. Breathe. Lower your shoulders. Then say, I need to slow down right now, or I'm going to say something unhelpful. I'm not shutting you out. Why it works. Her escalation is fear, not attack. She's pushing harder because she's trying to reach you. When you say I'm not gone and I'm not shutting you out, you're answering the fear, not the argument. That's what actually lowers the temperature. What happens next? Her volume may drop. It may not. Either way, stay low and steady. Your calm is doing something, even when the argument is still hot. Script 5. The check-in after the argument, for when the argument has passed. Things have cooled down, but nothing was really resolved. There's a distance in the room. You want to close it without opening everything back up. Don't wait until bedtime. Do this within a few hours, when the sharp edges are dull, but she's still aware of what happened. Say this. I want to check in about earlier. I know I went quiet and I don't want us to leave it there. Just wait. Let her respond before you continue. Then say, are you okay? I mean, actually, okay. Not fine. Why it works. Most post-argument check-ins fail because they're actually bids to confirm the problem is over. This one is different. You're asking about her state, not the argument's resolution. That distinction matters. She feels seen instead of managed. What happens next? This is usually where the real conversation starts. Keep your voice low. Don't defend. Don't explain your silence at length. Be curious about what she experienced. That curiosity is the thing that reopens intimacy after a shutdown. The 5 scripts above work for most men. But your default communication style affects how hard it is to use them and what you need to watch for. If you tend to go quiet and pull back when things get tense, your strength is that you don't escalate. You don't say things in anger you'll regret, but your silence is doing damage you may not see in the moment. Your specific work is not to say more, but to say something sooner. Your default is to wait until you have something worth saying. Drop that standard in conflict. One sentence that names your state is worth more than 10 minutes of processing. The bridge phrase is built for you. Use it early, before you're fully flooded, and commit to the return time you give her. If you tend to keep the peace and go along with things to avoid conflict, your pattern may look different. You stay present, but you don't say what you actually think. You agree. You smooth things over. And then 2 days later, she can tell something is off, and you can't quite name it. The scripts still work for you, but the adaptation is different. When she needs you to talk, give her your real position, not the one that keeps the temperature down. I don't know what I think yet, is more honest than whatever you think is fine. She needs to feel she's talking to someone, not talking at a mirror. If you tend to get defensive when you feel criticized, your instinct under pressure is to explain or counter, not to disappear. But sometimes that defense comes out as quiet hostility, clipped answers, or a kind of cold silence that's different from withdrawal but hits her just as hard. The adaptation for you. When you feel the urge to explain yourself, try one line of acknowledgement first. I hear you saying that buys you time and keeps the conversation from locking into a standoff. You don't have to agree. Just show you heard her. If you tend to push harder when you feel unheard, your pattern in conflict is probably not silence. But if your partner shuts down in response to your intensity, the dynamic starts to look like the pursue-withdraw pattern in reverse. The scripts still apply. When she goes quiet, lower your volume, not increase it. I can see I'm coming on too strong. Let me try that differently keeps you present without scaring her back into herself. Your behavior in conflict doesn't happen in a vacuum. Her pattern shapes what you need to do next. If she pushes harder and gets louder when you go quiet, her intensity is not an attack. It's fear. She's escalating because she's learned that's the only way to reach you. The thing that lowers her temperature is not better arguments. It's your steady presence. Use script 4. Keep your voice low. Stay in the room. Say, I'm not gone, and mean it. Her escalation will ease when her nervous system gets the signal that you're not disappearing. If she tries for a while and then goes quiet too, this is the version that should worry you most. She's not escalating anymore because she's stopped expecting a response. Use script 5 sooner than feels comfortable. The window where she's still open to reconnection is shorter than you think. A quiet I want to check in about earlier matters a great deal while she's still hoping. Waiting until she's already withdrawn makes it much harder. If she tends to pull back and needs her own space during conflict, she may not push when you go silent. She may go quiet too. And what looks like calm is actually two people who've stopped reaching for each other. Use script 3 to re-enter, even when there's no pressure to. I wasn't done with that conversation matters, even when neither of you is actively upset. If your roles sometimes reverse and she's the one who goes quiet, you're on both sides of this pattern, depending on the topic. When she withdraws, use the curiosity question from script 5. Are you okay? I mean, actually okay. Don't match her silence with yours. One person has to stay in the room. Make it you. Sometimes you'll try the bridge phrase, and she'll keep pushing. Sometimes you'll re-enter, and she'll say, forget it. Sometimes the whole attempt will feel stilted and wrong. Here's what to do. If she keeps escalating after you've said you need time, repeat the bridge phrase. Say, I'm not leaving the conversation. I need 5 minutes again. Calmly. If she continues, leave the room briefly, but say where you're going and when you'll be back. I'm going to the kitchen. I'll be back in 10. Then be back in 10. The re-entry is what she'll remember. If she shuts down before you have a chance to re-enter, don't let it sit overnight if you can help it. A short, low-pressure check-in before bed, even one sentence, does more than a full conversation the next day. I don't want to go to sleep with this unfinished is a sentence that costs you nothing and signals everything. If you try and still shut down anyway, that will happen. The pattern doesn't change in one conversation. What matters is what you do after. Name it. I did it again. I went quiet. Don't over-explain. Just name it and ask if you can try once more. The willingness to keep trying is more reassuring to her than any single perfect performance. If you've been in a pursue withdraw pattern for a while, the sexual and emotional distance probably feels like a separate problem. It's not. They're the same problem. When you shut down in conflict, she experiences it as emotional abandonment. Her nervous system learns this relationship is not a safe place to be open. That learning lives in her body. It affects how available she feels to you physically. It affects whether she reaches for you in small ways, touches your arm, leans in, laughs easily around you. When you start staying present, even imperfectly, that changes. Not instantly, but consistently. She starts to experience the relationship as a place where she won't be left alone when things get hard. Her nervous system begins to relax, and physical and emotional openness follow that relaxation. This is not a transaction. You don't stay present in order to get closeness. You stay present because the person you're with deserves a partner who doesn't vanish under pressure. The closeness that follows is the result of that, not the reward. You can't stop shutting down in arguments overnight, but you can start interrupting the pattern before it runs its full course. That's enough to change the direction. What is the earliest signal in my body that tells me I'm about to flood? My jaw tightens first. That's always the first sign. Before I even notice, I've stopped listening. You noticed the flood earlier than last time. You said something, instead of going silent, even imperfectly. You followed through on the return you promised. The distance after the argument felt smaller than usual. If you want to go deeper on this, you'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio, or head to the Two-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. I hope this helps.